And good morning. Welcome to Focus. It's our morning talk show. My name's David Inge, and we're glad to have you here. And we're also happy to have here on the program once again Sandy Mason. She's a horticulture educator with U of I Extension in Champaign County. And once a month on a Tuesday, she is here, and we take questions about things that grow in the home landscape. So we could be talking about grass or trees and shrubs, flowering plants, stuff you can eat, house plants, any and all of that. If you have a problem and you're not quite sure how to solve it, you can call in and tell us about the plant and the problem, and Sandy will see if she can help you out. Maybe people are already thinking about next year, and I'm sure dedicated gardeners really are always thinking about what's going on in landscape, even now when things are kind of winding down on the growing season. So if you're thinking about that, so planning ahead, dealing with problems, houseplants, we can do that too. Any and all of that, certainly great. And Sandy will do her best to give you some advice. 333-9455 is the Champaign-Urbana number. We also have a toll-free line. That one's good anywhere that you can hear us. That's 800-222-9455. And if you'd like to send us an email, you can do that too. Will, W-I-L-L, will-talk, will-talk at W, at okay, let me try that once more. Let me see. I think it's will.illinois.edu. Does that sound right? I think that's right.
Sounds good to me.
Will-talk at illinois.edu. I'm glad
I'm not the only one.
I've completely screwed that up now.
People, and you've done it a million times, right? You've said it a million times.
People are at home thinking, now what is it, Dave? How long have you been working here? The answer is too long. Too long. All right. Will-talk at illinois.edu. It'll get here if you send it to that address. Hey, thank you very much for being here. I think I'm going to take the opportunity to put a caller on here, and so I do not have to talk for a while. Two of them, great. Less talk from Dave. He'll get things sorted out. Let's go to Newman for a caller right here, line number one. Hello.
Good morning.
Hi, yeah.
Sandy, grandson bought my wife a hydrangea. Grandpa did not get it planted yet. It's still in the pot. What do I do for the rest of the winter, or how do I save it, I guess, what I'm saying? Do I just keep it in the house and keep it watered, or what's your recommendation?
I think there's still a chance to redeem yourself, Grandpa. I would actually go ahead and get it planted, to be honest with you. I mean, because they need to go through a cold period. They need a cold period, and it's just really hard to find that perfect spot indoors or in the garage or wherever it might be, where they're not freezing and thawing. So it's actually kind of hard to keep things in a pot and still have them go through a cold period. But it's not too late to go ahead and plant it. I realize it's a little wet right now, but I would think as soon as you have an opportunity, and actually it looks like it's going to, you know, get a little cold and then warm back up again. And really we find that this time of year is a pretty good time to plant trees and shrubs, to be honest with you. So I think you're okay.
Well, that's fine. I'll go ahead and do that. I just didn't know if it's too late to try to plant it or not.
Nope. I think you're absolutely, I would, and anyone else out there, that because we've all been there. When we buy some, can't quite figure out where to put it. I think the one thing I would do is make sure you put some kind of wire netting or something around it, chicken wire or something, because the rabbits love those, especially when they're brand new like that. So to protect them. Okay? Good luck.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Let's go on to a caller in Urbana, line number two. Hello.
Yes, I have a question. I have these spiky, I don't know the name of them, tropical plants, and they are, I've never been able to get them to really grow. They have like, they're green and they have reddish on the edges of them, and they're kind of spiky.
Do they almost come out and sort of arch over almost like a palm or something?
Yes. Yes, those.
Oh, okay. Okay, it sounds like it's one of the red-edged dracaenas. I think there might be another name. I think maybe a Madagascar dracaena or something like that. But anyway, so it has kind of a central stalk and then these leaves, these sort of long green leaves with a little red on the edge. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
This sort of come up? Oh, okay, there
perfect.
You go. So those are actually great houseplants. Actually, all the dracaenas are really pretty good houseplants. They take lower light. They will tolerate lower light, but they'll actually grow better at higher light. So I don't know where you have it located.
Well, in front of the window. Sometimes I forget to open the shades, but they've never been What's the best as far as watering them and soil and everything? What's the best for them?
Yeah, I think for the Dracaenas, if you can give them higher light, so if you could give them like either an east or west window, and then hopefully make sure that you open the blinds. Even if you have like a reading lamp or something like that nearby, they can actually benefit from that too. So that will actually help them if you happen to have a light on at night or whatever. That can help them too. They actually will tolerate dry soil, but they'll grow better with moist soil. So like as soon as it starts to kind of dry out and you feel the soil starting to dry out, then to go ahead and water them. So I wouldn't let them go long periods of time without watering them. They will tolerate that. It's just they'll grow better if you don't. Now, obviously, this isn't the time of year when a lot of plants are inside are doing really well because we have these lower daylight lengths. So it's a little harder to get things going right now. So it may be one of those things, unless you can add some supplemental lighting. I wouldn't plan on it growing a whole lot over the wintertime anyway, to be honest with you. So keep it moist. Come March or so, I would think about fertilizing it and try to encourage some new growth and go from there. I don't know if you repotted it. I think the other thing to think about with indoor plants is that when you buy them in those small pots, generally they're almost always ready to be repotted. So I don't know if you repotted it once you purchased it, but it's always a good idea with those plants. As soon as you get them home, sometime or other, I would think about putting them in a little bit bigger pot. So you may want to check that too.
Okay. Thank you for that. And I have one more. Uh-huh. I'm not sure how I'm going to describe this one. Someone gave it to me, my neighbor, when it was moving. It's a bigger tropical plant, and it has broad leaves. I don't know the name of it exactly. Maybe a corn, some sort of corn.
Oh, that actually, there is a thing called a corn plant, but it's actually another type of Dracaena. So, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, they're kind of green, and then they often have sort of a yellow variegation in them.
Yes.
But bigger.
It.
Yeah,
oh, you're
yeah.
Sure. You're right on.
Hey, I've been doing this for a little while. sounds like first word. So Dracaenas, and it's pretty much the same thing, but I will tell you the corn plants, they tend to like a much higher light than the other one that we just talked about. So they're another one of those that they get a little wimpy, kind of this wimpy growth if they don't get high light. So that one might be a little bit harder for you to find that light. But if you can, any of that kind of extra supplemental lighting in the wintertime will help these plants. So it's pretty much the same kind of conditions that I mentioned for the other ones, sort of watering and make sure they don't get too terribly dry in between. Okay?
Right, help.
Okay, good luck.
Thank you. Our guest this morning in this hour of focus is Sandy Mason. She's a horticulture educator with U of I Extension in Champaign County. Once a month on a Tuesday, she's here. We talk about lawn and garden care, things that grow in the home landscape, and we also can do houseplant questions as well. Mm-hmm. So 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. And in spite of my stumbling around with the email address, we actually got one.
See?
And for the record, it's Will, WILL-talk@illinois.edu. And I kind of think it'll get here if you just put Will Talk, but it helps to put the hyphen. Anyway, the listener says, my flower beds are looking very sad and wants to know, should I cut back the dead foliage on them? And in particular, she has some Stelladora and cone flowers. And I'm sure that right now they probably, there may be still a little bit of green here and there, but also I'm sure that they're looking pretty sad. I have some in my yard too. So cut them back?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that is, when do you cut them back when it comes to perennials? I think a lot of it just depends on personal preference. And obviously, this is an area that doesn't seem all that terribly nice right now. So you may want to go ahead and do some pruning back if you want to. You certainly can do that. I think in some respects, I kind of like leaving some things there only because sometimes then the leaves can kind of blow in there. It kind of helps to sort of mulch, sort of a natural mulch kind of thing. So I think that's fine. So it's really kind of depends on just personal preference, I think, for the most part, if you're not having disease issues with the plants. If you're having disease issues like leaf spots or whatever, I would definitely prune them back now or cut them back now and then get that foliage out of there. So if they were seeing spots on the daylilies or even on the cone flowers, it might be a really good idea to sort of get that foliage out of there. So it is truly one of those things. And it actually provides a little bit of cover for wildlife and stuff, too. So you kind of have to decide. Make those decisions. If you're having a lot of vole problems, I will say vole, those little things that look like mice, but really bad in some perennial beds. If you're having a lot of problems with those, you may actually want to go ahead and cut back the perennials now. and actually not have a lot of cover, because that's what they like through the winter time. So if you sort of open things up a little bit more, and that way any of the hawks or anything that like to eat voles have a better chance of getting them. It's just the cycle.
It's nature. It's all natural.
But it's one way to have sort of natural predators come in and take care of your issues. So you might want to, they might want to think about that, too, if they're having vole issues.
Okay. Well, hope that helps. Again, questions are welcome. 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. Just before we got going, we were talking about leaves, the fact that people have them, and certainly one thing that you can do is, you know, you can put them in those brown paper sacks and have somebody take them away. You can also use them for mulch. You can compost them. What might you suggest that people can do with leaves?
Well, and just what you mentioned, I think a lot of it is sort of thinking about, you know, leaves are kind of this natural mulch for a lot of things during the wintertime. So it doesn't really bother, I know it bothers some folks when they see the leaves actually piling up around the shrubs or whatever, but just to sort of think that's just natural mulch. And for a lot of insects, the beneficial insects and stuff, they kind of need that. And plus it's kind of better for the plants too, for the most part, as that stuff decomposes. So kind of think about, you know, is this something that's really causing a problem for the plant, or is this just really something I don't like as a gardener? So sort of think through that a little bit. But certainly, you know, shredding leaves, if you can, they'll actually decompose faster. So if it's something that where you're really having issues with lots of leaves, if there's a way you can shred them and then put them on your garden or put them in the compost pile, it makes certainly the volume smaller. So if you're concerned about the sheer volume, that you just don't have space for that, and they'll decompose faster. So if you can shred them, I think that's one of the things that will certainly help. And it's great for your garden to go ahead and put that on. The worms love it. So, you know, any of those things, any kind of bare soil areas in your vegetable garden or whatever, you can put shredded leaves on it. That's great.
Yeah, it's I'm sure that if you just pile them up, you had some place where you could just pile them up and keep them from blowing around, eventually they break down. But it'll take a lot longer that way than if you can do the other. I'm not sure how, other than I told you in my house, particularly in the back, I just go over them with the lawnmower and then just leave them there where they lay.
And that's a great technique. And for the most part, we generally do say to continue to mow the lawn if it is growing. And we've certainly had some warm enough temperatures that, because you don't want the lawn to be really over 3 inches going into winter is not necessarily a good thing. So at the same time, you're actually doing a good job of grinding up the leaves and shredding the leaves. And the lawn will tolerate that with just a little bit of leaf cover and shredded leaf. That's not a big issue. But as we were saying, if you wait until the leaves are like 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 inches.
Okay, so then it's a little problem.
It gets a little harder to deal with. But so you may end up finding yourself mowing maybe a little bit more often, but getting rid of them that way is certainly another issue.
And do you recommend the cutting height now to be the same as you would do in the summertime?
Yeah, well, generally, you know, depending on, I mean, in this time of year, I actually could mow it shorter. So you could actually go down to 2 inches if you wanted to. We generally recommend 2.5. So you're thinking about, that seems short.
To me, that seems kind of short.
So when the grass is actively growing, you can do that shorter length and it's fine. But at this point, usually we'd say 2.5 to 3 inches is good. But you really just don't want it any taller than 3 inches going into winter, because then it starts to lay over on itself and then you may have some issues later. Yeah.
Okay. Piatt County, we have a caller here. Line 4. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
I had a question. My asparagus did really well this year and has some really tall fronds, I call it, I guess. Can those be cut off in winter, or should I leave it till spring and cut them off?
You can do either one, to be honest with you,
okay.
If you want to go ahead and cut them off now. And if they were doing really well, then I'd say it's not a big issue. I kind of like to get a jump start on that simply because it seems like in the spring, trying to get out there and making sure that you get it out before it really starts to come up. So it's really kind of up to you. But again, we're back to that whole thing. If anybody had any insect issues or anything on their asparagus, I definitely want to get rid of it.
Okay, and how about, I don't use much Roundup, but I do have some. Can you leave it? I have it in an unheated potting shed. Will it winter over?
I think a good rule of thumb with any chemicals is to not let them freeze.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you can put them, even if it's just at 35 degrees or something, just don't let them freeze. They'll just last longer.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Sure.
Okay. Thank you. And another email here. This is about amaryllis. Someone writes, I grow my amaryllis in pots and keep them in my garage for the winter. They usually continue to grow because the garage isn't cold enough to make them go dormant. Can I still repot my amaryllis now?
Sure. I guess there's not. It doesn't sound like there's a problem there.
No,
necessarily.
I don't think so.
Yeah, normally. Well, normally, maybe that's what they're thinking is normally in September when she says repot. I'm not sure what she means by that. What they mean by that, but usually in first of September is the time we'd actually try to make them go dormant. Uh-huh. So then we could bring them out. Usually around the first of the year, so it's usually when people like to see them go ahead and flower. So typically we'd probably do that in the first of September. It's certainly not too late. I think probably unless you really feel like you have to repot them. Amaryllis are one of those that like to be pot bound. They truly like to be, you know, with their shoulders touching the pots. They are perfectly fine with that. So I wouldn't think about repotting them now unless you really feel like you need to. I think I'd probably wait until spring.
Okay. Well, I hope that gets to the question. If you want to follow up, give us some more details, ask some other questions, let us know. Otherwise, we will go to Belgium for another caller here. Line number one. Hello.
Good morning. I'd like to revisit a little discussion you had a little earlier in your conversation here. You were talking to a fellow that had draconia plants.
Dracaena?
Yeah, uh-huh. That's what you said, Dracaena plants. These are the ones that grow in a long, kind of a narrow stem and then have spiky leaves that come out the top and they flake off and look like kind of like a palm tree in a way.
Yeah, kind of. Uh-huh.
Well, it's interesting. In San Jose, there's a Rosicrucian Museum, which is Egyptian. And they have a fabulous garden there. They have those trees that are big enough that you cannot put your arms around it.
Oh, yeah.
They're huge.
Wow.
And
wow.
We keep them a lot. And we just put them in small pots and just let them sit around our house. And they just grow and grow and grow until they get too tall.
Uh-huh.
And then what we do is we whack the tops off of them. And what they'll do is they'll form limbs then. And they'll start growing out little ones off to the side and keep getting bigger and bigger. And we just design them like that, and then the tops we whack off, stick them back in the dirt and anything.
Oh, wow.
And they'll root.
Oh, wow.
And they'll just take right off from there. And matter of fact, it gets to the point where we have way too many of them. There are a lot of them sitting around my shop right now. And we set them out in the summertime, but we don't usually let them go over the winter outside. They usually freeze solid, and it's bad for the pot, and plants don't seem to recover from it.
Right. And they're truly tropical plants or subtropical plants, so they're really not meant to spend the winter outside. But, yeah, there's a lot of plants as you go farther south. There's a lot of plants that folks use as landscape plants that we use as indoor plants. So it's so different to see them in that realm where they're huge.
Well, you take the hibiscus, which we see here as a small bush. You go to, Guam or Tahiti and places like that, hibiscus grow so big they saw them up as lumber.
Yeah, wow. So different.
They're a lot different depending upon where they're at.
Yeah, no kidding.
Okay, thank you.
So good.
All right,
thanks.
I know I have in my yard, I have some New Guinea impatiens that I think are really wonderful plants that are still, they still look okay, although they're not flowering anymore, but some in particular that are in a little bit of a sheltered spot that's up against the front porch on the house. So that's probably stayed. Maybe it's a little warmer, a little bit more sheltered. That I'm almost a little surprised that they actually haven't keeled over. They don't look too bad, but as I say, they haven't flowered in some time now.
Yeah, I can't believe it. I actually have impatiens that are flowering. They're not the New Guineas, just the regular old impatiens. They're still flowering.
Really?
I know. Can you believe it? And it's just because, you know, I don't know what the lowest temperature that we've had. We've certainly had frosts. Have we had a hard freeze?
No,
we
I don't think so.
We have.
In fact, I think
it's really kind of odd.
October was warmer than average.
Yeah,
for
I believe
the month.
That. So I never remember seeing impatiens this late in the year and still blooming and still really looking pretty good. So I'm surprised by that too. So we've certainly had this little stretch here that that things have lasted a lot longer. And even in the leaves on the trees and stuff, it seems like they've actually stayed longer than they typically would have. Yeah.
Well, questions are welcome here about things that grow in the home, landscape, ornamentals, or stuff you can eat, or we can talk about houseplants or what have you. Sandy Mason is our guest. She's a horticulture educator with U of I Extension in Champaign County. She's on the program every month. It's always a Tuesday. And if we can help you with a problem, you know, let us know. Call in 333-9455. That's the number for Champaign-Urbana. We also have a toll-free line. That's good anywhere that you can hear us. That's 800-222-9455. And then there's the email will-talk@illinois.edu. And I was looking at one of your recent columns, homeowners column. In fact, I think maybe this was the most recent one about winter annuals.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Gardeners, you know, more and more, I think now the things what gardeners want is they'd like to have something going on, mm-hmm. If they could, something going on all the time,
right.
Or year-round right. interest. That's the thing. And there are, and I'm sure that people look around, they will see that there are things that are still green. And would be even if it hadn't been a little bit warmer than usual. Can you talk a little bit about that and what things that you might put in there that you would at least until we get a hard freeze,
right,
would be going.
And actually, I think that's one of the things that we're seeing more and more in gardening is sort of stretching out the season. And certainly mm-hmm. those late, you know, we always think of chrysanthemums, but there's actually a lot of other things that actually do quite well later in the season. And, you know, even the coral bells, for the most part, they still, and actually they kind of, to me, it seems like they get a little bit of revitalization towards the end of the season, start putting on some new growth and look really good. But even to plant those, I think they really look excellent in containers. Certainly pansies, we've got a lot of great pansies and violas now that are available that really will take some pretty darn cold weather and will continue to flower. So it's mm-hmm. it's pretty amazing. And certainly all the flowering kale and cabbage and all those actually get more vivid colors as it gets colder. So they actually quite even prettier as they get colder. So I think there it is one of those things that people are starting to think about stretching out the season. I know I've mentioned this plant before, but the lamium or dead nettle, sometimes it's called, it's still in my yard. It's still blooming. It's a perennial and it's still blooming, it's amazing. And I've actually had it blooming clear up until December, where it continues to bloom. And even noticing this year, I've gotten some great fall color on some of my perennials, which we don't always see.
Mm.
But even thinking about some of those perennials that you can add to your yard even for fall color, which we always think about trees and shrubs for fall color. We never think about perennials. But there's a little ground cover that's part shade sun called leadwort. And actually gets this really, and I just noticed the other day how pretty it is, this bright red fall color. It gets kind of a purplish cast, and then as it continues, it gets this really bright red fall color. It has little blue flowers, which are wonderful, and it's not flowering right now, but it gets that wonderful sort of late season color. So I think it's one of those things that sometimes we kind of forget about the, you know, fall foliage on perennials, but there's certainly plenty of them out there.
Yeah, okay. Some other callers here. Let's talk with someone in Champaign. Line one. Hello.
Hi there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm calling to ask a couple of questions. One of them is about some blue mohawk ornamental grass that I bought. I've got four pots of it. They're 4 inches across. Is it okay to transplant them into the ground now, and will they winter over?
Is that blue mohawk? I'm trying to think of what. Do you remember what it is? Is that actually a rush?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, Blue Mohawk Rush, I think it's called.
Well, it just says it's graceful grasses and blue mohawk, it says on the pot.
Okay.
And it's probably right now about 18 inches tall.
Yeah.
It looks a little bit like green onion.
Yeah, right. And they're very pretty. I'm just trying to remember if they're hardy or not. If you happen to have the label, do you still have the label?
I do have the label.
So what does it say for the zone hardiness? It should be at least a six.
Hardy zones, 5 to 9.
5 to 9, so you should be fine. I thought it was hardy, but I hated to tell you that for sure. So, yes, I would go ahead and plant it.
Oh, great.
And plant it outside.
Can it go under a tall tree? There's about, between the ground and the bottom of the limbs, there's about 6 feet of height.
Oh, sure. That'll be
and
fine. They just don't like super dry areas.
Yeah.
Is probably the thing that they don't like.
And then I have a couple of pots of beautiful pansies I'd like to transplant. Will they come back next year if I transplant them now?
Yeah, you know, pansies are one of those things that I think if they have kind of a more protected area, they're pretty good at coming back. But I, you know, at least in my experiences, when I plant out pansies, half of them will come back and half of them won't. So
okay.
I have about a 50 to 60% maybe if I stretch it. So I don't always guarantee it, but they need kind of, if you can sort of put some leaves and stuff around and try to protect it, I think that helps immensely. But if it's in a real windy site or any place that actually gets really super wet, even in the wintertime, then they have a tendency not to come back.
So would it be better if I brought them into my sunroom then?
You certainly can. They don't have to be out where there's an issue. So I would just bring them in and enjoy them if you'd like.
Okay, great.
Sure.
Well, thank you so much. I enjoy your program.
Sure,
thank you. Well, let's talk with someone here now in Vermilion County. Line 4. Hello.
Good morning.
Mm-hmm.
Last spring, I put out some strawberry plants in those planters that sit atop your a railing on my deck, and the strawberry plants just were gorgeous, had beautiful flowers and lovely green strawberries, and I never had a ripe one because the birds and the squirrels and the chipmunks. However, I did bring the planters into the garage and put them so they could get light from the south window. But is there something I can do to overwinter them and try again next year with some kind of screening over them or something?
Right. Yeah, probably the one thing with really for the most part for all our fruit crops is they do have to go through a cold period. So they do need, and it doesn't have to be freezing, but usually we say about at least 35 degrees. And they don't, the trouble is with those containers, any of the containers with any of the plants, is that they freeze and thaw, and that has a tendency to kill the roots.
Uh-huh.
So I guess you have a couple options. If there's a place that you could actually, you know, I don't know, if you had a place where there's a constant temperature, more like your crawl space, you know, something where it's going to be cool but not going to do this sort of on and off thing. Or if you can go ahead and...
What if I just put them out in the regular garden?
I think that actually is a really good thing, to go ahead and just plant them.
Okay.
You know, get them planted. Or if you wanted to leave, I don't know if you can leave the pot out there or not. It's a plastic pot?
And that's my thought about it. In a regular garden, sure, they would go over winter, but, you know, there's not, about 6 inches of soil underneath.
That's really hard.
Yeah,
it's really hard on strawberries, too, because they have very sensitive root systems anyway. They don't like to dry out. So the other thing you could do if you did, you know, if you were going to leave the pot out, is if you just put mulch all around it, so
that
it helped kind of like stick it in a pile of mulch kind of thing. You could try it.
Piles of mulch I've got.
Well, you could try that.
Just set the whole planter thing.
I would put the whole thing in there, and then as they die down, you know, because I assume they're so green at this point, but as they die down, you might then go ahead and then cover that. I'm not sure. I'd probably use like shredded leaves or something that's fairly lightweight, something like that. But but actually, it's a pretty good technique. Technique for folks that want to winter over things, but they want to leave them in the pot. But if you stick them in a big old pile of mulch, it does a pretty good job of insulating them.
Well, then I'll try it.
Thank you.
Let
me try that.
Much.
Okay.
All right. We're talking this morning with Sandy Mason about things that grow in the home landscape. We will take more questions and talk some more after a short break. This is Focus.
Support for WILL comes from World Harvest International and Gourmet Foods on the corner of 6th and University in Champaign. Providing Champaign-Urbana with a wide array of foods from around the world, including cheeses, olives, spices, hot sauces, olive oils, and more. World Harvest invites you to join them in supporting public radio.
This is Focus, our morning talk program. My name's David Inge. Glad that you are listening. We're here with different topics for you every day. In fact, 10 different topics a week. In the second hour today, our guest is Jennifer Hamer. She is a sociologist. She's a professor of African American Studies at the U of I. We'll talk about some of what you will find in her book, Abandoned in the Heartland, Work, Family, and Living in East St. Louis, a study particularly of what life is like for African American folks living in St. Louis. Tomorrow morning, it's our monthly show on nutrition. Celeste Quinn is the host. Her guest will be Susan Kundrat. She's a registered dietitian. She's on the program every month. And also this time around, to help talk about food and nutrition on a budget, she'll have as a special guest Jacqueline Hanna. She's the general manager of the Common Ground Food Co-op. Then tomorrow morning in the 11 o'clock hour, a person, a name, a voice that ought to be familiar to people listening to National Public Radio, we'll talk with Snigdha Prakash. She is a journalist, worked for a number of years as a reporter for NPR, and she has a new book out that takes a look at the lawsuit involving the drug Vioxx. There were a lot of people who claimed that they were harmed, and they sued the manufacturer. She, that is Snigdha, had the opportunity to spend a lot of time with the legal team that was representing the plaintiffs in this case. And she's written a book about this, and the title of the book is All the Justice Money Can Buy, Corporate Greed on Trial. She will be visiting in Champaign-Urbana. She'll be with us in the studio. That is tomorrow morning in the 11 o'clock hour. We're here weekday mornings from 10 until noon, 10 different topics every week. You can check up on schedule by looking at our website, which is WILL.illinois.edu. That way you can also listen to past programs. We have a lot of things there on our web archive. And the guest this morning is Sandy Mason. She's a horticulture educator with U of I Extension in Champaign County. She's on the program here once a month, and we take questions on things that grow in the home landscape. She writes a regular column that's in the newspaper, the News Gazette, and she is also a frequent guest on the program, it's Midwestern Gardener,
Mid-American
Gardener. See, I have no idea what I'm talking about. Yeah, Mid-American Gardener. It's not just Illinois, ladies and gentlemen. No. It's all of the Midwest, and it's a great show. It's a live show that we do on WILL-TV Thursday nights at 7 o'clock, rotating panel of guests, and it's a live show, and on that show, the great thing about it is that you can do what we do here. You can call in and ask questions, and people do all throughout the year. It doesn't matter whether it's the dead of winter. People are thinking about stuff that grows, and they're always calling in with questions. So if you have never seen the show, you should check it out. That's on Thursday nights at 7 on WILL. And right here, if you had questions, we'd be very happy to have them. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455, and email will-talk@illinois.edu. See, I remember when it was Illinois Gardener.
I know.
It was Illinois Gardener for a long time.
For a long time.
For a long time before it became whatever it is now. It's basically the same show, though. It's basically the same show. And it's a great opportunity for people. There are people from the university, people like you, people who work in various garden centers around, and it's a rotating cast of characters. But the great thing is it's people who have tremendous expertise and work with plants all the time and deal with people having questions all the time. And it's a great resource for having answers. And it's I think it may be the most popular thing we've ever done on WILL-TV. I feel fairly confident that that's the case. We have a caller here. Let's talk with him. Champaign, line one. Hello.
Yeah. Hi.
Hi.
I have a question. I saw your program the other night, and a caller called in asking about some pansies that she had planted in a pot outside and with regards to the coming winter. And you guys told her to bring the pot inside. And my understanding always has been, and the garden centers themselves, like Danville Gardens, promotes the fact that these flowers can live outside in the winter, and they're native to the Himalayas. And I have grown pansies and violas in pots outside in the winter. And if you get, a stretch of a week or two of nice warm days, like in February or even in December, they'll bloom. So I'm curious why you told her to take them inside, because to me that seems incorrect.
Well, I didn't. Number one, I didn't say it. I did not say it. So I'm sorry I didn't see the show that evening. So I'm not sure exactly how they presented it. Maybe she felt like she didn't have any options. But you're absolutely right. There's no reason why you have to bring pansies in. You certainly can bring them in if you wish to, but you don't have to.
What will happen if you bring them in? Will they continue to flower?
Sure.
And then you just put them back out in the spring?
Sure.
They don't mind?
Yeah, they're not. They're actually a little bit different. They don't require, some plants actually require a cold period in order to prompt flowering and all that other kind of good stuff.
Right.
Pansies are pretty tough in the sense that they don't need that. They don't have that chilling requirement that some plants do. So they're fine. And actually, impatiens would be, I actually brought in a bunch of impatiens that I had in pots, and they're still blooming right now indoors. So you certainly, that's a little different story because they're not going to live outside. But right. A lot of plants, you can certainly still bring them in. A lot of the annuals, I guess I should say, right. will continue and do just fine. So you're absolutely right. You don't have to bring pansies in, but if people want to, they can.
Well, regarding impatiens, yes, I've brought them in before too. And my question is, if you keep them looking nice till spring, can you just plant them back outside
sure.
and work them through a whole other life cycle outside? Or
sure.
are they like a lot of annuals where at a certain point they're done?
No, they're actually not true annual. You know, a true annual, you know, it flowers, sets seed, and dies. A true annual. Most of the plants that we're using that we call annuals just happen to be tender perennials. They're perennials back in their native, wherever they're from. It's just too cold here. And so we treat them like annuals. So they certainly can go on their merry way. Begonias are another one of those. They'll continue, bring them indoors, enjoy them, stick okay. them back outside in the spring. They'll continue to flower and look great. And some of them, you know, will get bigger. And sometimes you have to chop them back in the springtime because they get kind of tall and lanky and all that kind of good stuff over the wintertime just because they're not getting enough light. But they'll certainly continue to grow and be great the next year.
Okay.
So
yeah, I've seen impatiens growing wild in the jungles in Ecuador. And
oh, how pretty.
Really beautiful.
Yeah, how pretty. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, sure.
Right. Hey, thank you. On to Danville for another caller here, line number two. Hello.
Hi, good morning. I did watch the show on last Thursday, and the show was presented, the question was presented that the lady had these pots, and she had not planted them in a larger container, nor had she planted them in the ground. I think the impression that the panel had was that she had just the pots, little tiny, maybe 2.5 or 3 inch pots from the garden center, and that they were just sitting out on her patio.
Right.
And
right.
in that case, they will die.
Right. And then again, those little bitty pots where it's going to freeze and thaw. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
I think that's why.
Yeah, it could be. That's why I wasn't sure what the context
right.
was.
I think that was the context.
Right. Well, that makes sense.
So,
either going ahead and planting them in the ground
right.
or bringing them indoors
yeah.
is probably your best
Take
bet.
Them out of the pot, put them in the ground, let them grow, or bring them in.
Right, right, right. So okay. thanks for clarifying that.
Yeah, great. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Okay.
Nothing gets people fired up.
More like than pansies.
More like pansies. Questions are welcome. Welcome, still welcome. We have plenty of time. We could talk with some more folks. We have about 10, 12 minutes left here with Sandy Mason. She's a horticulture educator with U of I Extension in Champaign County. And if you have questions about things that grow in the home landscape, 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. Email will-talk@illinois.edu. Just maybe it's also worth mentioning to people that if you're going to bring something inside, you've got to keep in mind that there's going to be a big difference between how much light they get mm-hmm. outside and how much light
right.
they get inside,
right.
and that for some plants that could be a little bit of a shock. So you got to make sure you know what their light requirements is and that they get that. And you can even supplement that with artificial light, but
sure.
but they've got to have light.
Yeah, so there's certainly a lot of plants that just sort of hang out over the winter time. They don't look all that great, and so people may find that with some of the plants that they bring in, and I guess I'm thinking about some of the tropical, like Brugmansia, I'm not sure if it has these huge sort of trumpet-shaped flowers that people really like. Mm-hmm. That's a plant. It tends to drop all its leaves. It looks horrible in the winter time, but it's just sort of hanging out. It's not dying. It's kind of going through this kind of dormant phase. So you have to kind of decide sometimes if you have those spots where you can put those plants that are just sort of hanging out, but yet, you know, have maybe some supplemental lighting for them or something, and then those plants that you truly want to look at on a regular basis and kind of decide from there on whether you want to continue to look at it. There certainly are some that I was just thinking about impatiens and begonias. Even geraniums, I've had them, they look great, you know, well into December sometimes, so... You know, just by bringing them indoors yeah. and treating them like houseplants.
Okay. Terre Haute next. Here's someone on our line number four, toll-free line. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
I was just wondering if you have any suggestions for heather plants that would work well in this area.
As in ones to grow?
Yeah, just to, you know, as a perennial for outside.
Wow. Heather is really hard for us. Our soils are way too rich and way too wet, and heather is really more native to rockier areas. I haven't found one that does all that terribly well here, even though they might be listed as being hardy. It's a soil issue. So you almost need, like, the worst possible area you can think of, where it's rocky and dry and all that kind of stuff that we don't typically think about making an area like that.
Okay, well, thank you.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
All right. Well, again, other questions welcome. You're wanting a suggestion of a plant for a particular place, we can do that. Right. You got a problem, we can do that. Can be indoor, can be outdoor, whatever you have on your mind, as it has to do with growing things, you can give us a call. You might want to mention a program that you have going this, I don't know, how many people would be interested in this, but maybe there would be some people who would be interested in this.
Yeah, it actually is a wood utilization program that's coming up December 1st. It's Thursday. It's going to be in Rantoul pretty much all day from 8 to 4. And it's the idea of, especially with, it kind of prompted, I guess, for the most part, by ash trees, in the sense that a lot of ash trees are being taken down. And with emerald ash borer, the damage is just really even on the very outside. The wood itself is actually quite good. So the whole idea of this wood utilization program on December 1st is sort of, okay, you know, how do you grade wood? How do you actually go from a tree to lumber? All those kinds of things that people might be interested in. And so it's probably mainly for maybe arborists or folks that are in the street maintenance, those kind of programs, municipalities and stuff that are wondering, okay, rather than chipping it. I mean, that's the sad part. Either burning it or chipping it is really sad when this wood is actually very good. And ash, from what I understand from woodworkers, is excellent wood. And you can do a lot of things with it.
Yeah, it's a beautiful wood. It's very hard, but it has a wonderful light blonde sort of finish. And I'm sure that it would be, if you know how to work it, it would be a nice thing.
Yeah, it takes a stain well, and so I think there's a lot of things that can be done with it. So it's sort of like just really trying to get people better, more ideas on what can be done with this wood rather than just, you know, burning it or whatever ends up happening to it. So, and I think thinking ahead of the schedule, thinking the sense that we're going to end up with all these trees that end up being taken down over time, that maybe we can have something in place where people can figure out what to do with it before it gets chipped or whatever.
So people who do that, is it actually worth, say, if you were an arborist, so you're going down there cutting down trees, is it actually worth whatever kind of investment that you would have to make in the equipment that you would have to have? Because it takes some effort to go from a tree to lumber that somebody might use to make furniture out of.
But yet there are those folks, you may not have to actually purchase the equipment yourself, but if you know that you have such and such a log, just by knowing how to grade lumber or grade trees, just to know that, okay, this one looks like it's really good. I know I can sell this one, and this one to this person over here that will take it and then plane it and do all the other wonderful things to make it into lumber. So they may not be doing that themselves, but I guess it's a matter of sort of knowing what you have, knowing what you could sell, and then knowing who might be willing to take that or purchase that. So it's kind of all those things put together, and that's the whole idea of the program on December 1st.
Yeah. Well, that's great. I'd really like that idea, as you say, rather than chipping something, or just, you could cut it up and you could use it for firewood, but if it's good quality wood and you can make it into something, that sounds like a good idea to me.
Right, and just the whole idea of even things like quarantine. Obviously, you know, counties are quarantined now. You know, Champaign and Vermilion and Fort Iroquois and DeWitt and McLean, all these counties are quarantined. But there are ways to actually deal with the lumber just by taking off the bark as well as an inch below the bark, that then it's deregulated, and so it can then be taken to other places. So it's just knowing that, okay, how can I get this to a point where it can be moved to another county that's not under quarantine? So it's kind of knowing those things as well.
So essentially, you just kind of have to strip off the outside part of the tree.
Yeah, that's the only good thing about emerald ash borer is the fact that it doesn't go deep inside the tree like a lot of borers do. It's really on the outside of the tree. And so a lot of that lumber is still quite good.
All right. Let's see. I have a couple. Oh, back to Belgium. Line number 4. Hello.
Yes. Sorry to call you twice, but you did hit on something that I deal with a lot.
I figured so.
Yes, there are many people who will take trees. Look around there. I'm not sure if there's even in the phone book, but I know several people who will take trees and saw them for lumber. But the thing is, you do have to dry it, and that does take time.
Right.
And it does take a certain amount of care, or are you going to turn this material into nothing but dust?
Right. Yeah. So then, how do you,
Yeah.
So how is it dried? You're absolutely right.
Well, you can dry it just by letting it sit outside.
Right,
but
it takes longer.
But you have to stack it properly.
Yeah. And it takes longer.
Usually takes a year or two, depending per inch for the stuff. And if you saw it thicker, you're just going to destroy the lumber, too, because they usually check and cause problems that won't allow the lumber to be good.
Right.
A lot of
people,
there are groups, even in Champaign, there's a wood-turning group in Champaign that just loves lumber, especially if it happens to be unique type lumber. They'll cut it up into smaller pieces while it's wet, and then they'll turn it into bowls and turnings of different objects and stuff. There's
good
lots
point.
And lots of places to get rid of lumber if you try just a little.
Right.
Okay.
So, thanks.
Great. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Let's see. We've got about 5 minutes left. Here's another caller, somebody who is in Champaign on line one. Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sandy, I have one of the little tiny miniature rose bushes that you find at the grocery store or whatever, and I really would like to have it in a pot continually. Is that going to be okay with that? I mean, to bring it in the house and leave it in the house.
Yeah, you know, roses actually will do. They're okay, bring them in. And actually, it'd be better if you could actually put it in a cool spot at least for a few weeks. I don't know if you have a garage or something, so it can go through a little bit of a chilling. So it'll do better in the next year.
It's already done that. I had it outside for the summer. I just brought it in like a week ago. Is that chilled enough?
Oh, okay, so it's had some time to get dormant and all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
Then if you could keep it in a cool spot, I don't know, cool-ish spot, are you going to try to grow it on or are you just going to try and keep it dormant? Or
I would really like to try to grow it on if that's possible. Is that possible?
Well, they need...
I planted them outside before.
Right. They need high light. That's the big thing. Otherwise, you get this kind of straggly growth on them. So you're probably going to have to either, unless you have a sun porch or someplace or sunroom where they get lots and lots of light, you might think about a supplemental light of some kind. And even if it's just, you know, they mentioned before, even just a reading lamp or something where you get that little extra light, it can help them. I'd be really careful with the one thing with roses, of course, spider mites love them, especially when you bring them indoors. So I'd really, really look at it closely and make sure that you don't have spider mite issues and really check it on a regular basis because they will absolutely get spider mites. You can almost guarantee it, I will say.
Okay. All right, because I have a lot of other plants.
Yeah, that's why you'd hate to have spider mites take over. So I would really watch them on a regular basis. And insecticidal soap periodically can help just to sort of keep the – and aphids would be the other thing. Sometimes they'll come in on those plants too.
Okay. Great. Thanks so much.
All right. Very good. A couple of minutes left. Again, somebody wants to call real quick or get us in an email. We will be able to take that. 333-9455. That's Champaign Urbana. Toll free, 800-222-9455. Email will-talk at illinois.edu. Well, is there anything else that in terms of just things that are it's time to do that you would say if you have not done outside that you might want to think about?
Well, if people do want to fertilize again, they can't actually fertilize the lawn. Last fertilization is normally done around Thanksgiving time. It's usually a week or so after your first mowing. So if they want to go ahead and do that, to do one more fertilization, they certainly can do that. And then at that point, you probably even skip that really, really early fertilization, which we don't recommend. So to actually not fertilize in the spring until May.
Okay. And other than that, just general kind of cleanup and...
I think that's probably the big thing. Certainly the trees and shrubs, if you do want to go ahead and plant some, I'd get them in the ground here soon. And it's sometimes a great time to get trees and shrubs because they're often on sale.
For people who have planted things, just new things, like maybe new trees, or I suppose could be perennials just this past year, and it's been so dry.
Right.
How long into the winter do you suggest people should continue to water?
Well, certainly if it's evergreen, I would continue to water until the ground freezes. So you may be actually, unless we get irregular rains, you may be watering clear into December. If it's an evergreen, a rhododendron, boxwood, anything that maintains its leaves, because that's really, really tough on them. And you might even think about, if it's an evergreen, you might even think if it's just a real windy site, you might actually want to think about some protection. I know it's not all that terribly pretty, but even something like just basic, almost like a fence, a burlap, something like that, to sort of help protect them against the wind. You might even think about that if it's something that's brand new and it's an evergreen.
Okay. Another caller here. Champaign, line one. Hello.
Hi. I have some geraniums that are potted. They're sitting outside, and they're still looking great, as well the other stuff is kind of wilting back. Can, if they're brought inside, will they continue to grow, or they're just annual and they're going to die?
Sure, bring them inside. Enjoy. I've seen them continue to flower indoors. Usually the sunlight gets to the point where they're just not getting enough light, and then they quit flowering, but they'll certainly live. And I've kept them and then planted them again in the spring, so go for it. Enjoy.
Well, great. Well, I wasn't sure if they would just – they're doomed to die anyway.
No.
So,
no.
Well, I can use them for next year.
Great.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. So is there some list of things like that that are – that are outside that you would say, well, if you want to try to bring them inside, go ahead.
I would say probably a pretty good rule, you know, any of the annual, you know, things that we traditionally think of as annuals, like coleus, you know, it's really a tender perennial. I mean, and geraniums are tender perennials. It's not that they're doomed to die. They're doomed to die if we leave them outside because it's just too cold. So right. I would say I can't really think of a whole lot of things that are considered annuals, typically, that you couldn't go ahead and just bring them indoors and at least enjoy them for another couple of months. Again, sometimes they get kind of straggly looking come January and February, and you're ready to throw them on the compost pile, and that's fine. But sometimes they continue to look great, and a little bit of trimming in the spring, and you can plant them back out again. Coleus is a good example of that, actually, is often used as an indoor plant. We think of it as an outdoor plant now, but it does very well indoors.
Mm-hmm. Again, somebody wants to call real quick. I'm thinking that we're getting somebody lined up here on our toll-free line, locally here, 333-9455, and toll-free, 800-222-9455, Burr Ridge, on the toll-free, right here. Hello.
Hi there.
Hi.
I know you guys started to discuss this last week, and I wasn't sure what the answer was when it came to Creeping Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
What might I do now, or do I wait until the spring in order to try to stop this?
Yeah.
And how hard is it going to be?
And this is in your lawn, I assume?
Correct.
Okay. Actually, it's a perennial, so it could still be, you could still use a herbicide if you choose to. You just have to read the label. Most of the time, most of those will say if it's above 45 degrees and the weed is still growing, which typically it is, that those can be effective. So we're getting kind of late to this point, but because of the weather that we're having with these 60-degree temperatures, is actually the herbicides can be effective at that point. So you kind of just have to think through that. Otherwise, you may want to wait till spring if it doesn't seem like it's staying warm enough and all that stuff, but it sure looks like it's going to for the next week or two. So that would be one thing other than, you know, Creeping Charlie is just one of those things.
it is tough to get rid of.
It is, but it is one of those things. I think you just have to think about multiple applications. One application of a herbicide isn't going to work. It kind of just knocks it down, but doesn't get rid of it. So you'd have to read the label. Obviously, you only have time for one this time of year, and then come next spring when it starts to regrow again, then to go ahead and use a herbicide again.
Okay, I got to jump in here because we're out of our time. Sandy will be back next month. Sandy Mason is a horticulture educator with U of I Extension, Champaign County. She's on the program once a month, almost on Tuesday. Thanks very much.
Thank you.